Signing you isn't the right thing to do. How could you ever change ways that you feel? If I could, Roquan, I'd give you the world. How can I, when you won't take it from me? Ro, just go your own way. Go your own way. You can call it another person's mistake. Ro, just go your own way. Go your own way. Tell me why everything turned around. Packing up, leaving us is all you want to do. If I could, Roquan, I'd give you the world. Open up, everything's waiting for you. Bro, just go your own way. Go your own way. You can call it another first mistake. Bro, just go your own way. Go your own way.
Bro, just go your own way. Go your own way.
The Bears are flawless and they will never lose in 2022. That much is clear after a shellacking of the Kansas City Chiefs. Matt Nagy, another loss at Soldier Field. We have a very special guest joining us today because one of us is on vacation, but you'll hear from him too. Talk to you soon. These are nuts.
Yes! Yes!
Yes!
Hello, Becky.
Boing, 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 boing.
Zero doinks. Zero doinks.
Zero doinks.
Zero doinks.
Zero doinks.
Zero doinks.
Zero doinks.
Oh, zero doinks. Oh, my God. We're back. There's real football kind of going on. As you may have heard last episode, Dan Doinks is bouncing from island to island in Hawaii. So I had to think long and hard who is capable of filling his very considerable seat. And I landed on somebody that you know, somebody you may have seen on the cover of one of our Red Hot albums. His name is Darren. He's from Dublin. He's a fan and egg. He is here. Darren, how are you? You look smashing.
Thank you very much, Bill. I'm absolutely fantastic. All great, especially after an amazing, amazing Bears victory. For the first time in, 4 years, I'm delighted to see Matt Nagy take a loss in Soldier Field, which has been wonderful. Obviously, I'm delighted I've got you. He's island hopping. You've gone to me in another island to jump in and fill his boots. I'll never be able to fill Dan's boots, but I'll just do my best. Hopefully, we'll get there.
I think you're there. I know you're on holiday or taking a special extra holiday here this evening. I think it's about midnight your time. Thank you for being awake, for having thanks for having a beer with me, buddy. We're going to get into it. Coming up next, we're going to talk all about the undefeated Chicago Bears.
1-0, baby. 1-0.
That's right. That's right.
Well, in South Africa, they call the cookie monster Darren.
You sound amazing, Darren.
Well, I'm fucking half cut, so it's a good Friday to be. I think you guys should definitely go join, you know, Phil for some cookie sandwiches. That sounds like a great thing to do on a Saturday. Well, when you finally find a shirt that gets you sex, you don't take off that shirt. It's a rule of my life. You know, just because I'm Irish doesn't mean I drink a lot and doesn't mean I drink whiskey. And, well, come on, fuck that.
But the name Justin Fields puts some hair on your chest.
You're the pride and joy.
Aaron Rodgers.
Boing, 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 boing.
Baby, Zero Doinks Darren from Dublin is here, and before I forget, I wanted to make mention that we are very excited to be part of the Every Morning Quarterback crew. Crew? I'm not sure. I think I may have said that incorrect, but there are representatives from every NFL team that is part of this podcast community, and we are happy to represent the Bears with our dirty sailor mouths. So thank you for including us, Every Morning Quarterback. Darren from Dublin, you watched the Bears go 1-0. It was on NFL Network, so you actually got to watch it live, which I'm sure was a treat. What were your first impressions? Let's start on the offensive side of the ball. Brand new coaching staff, some of the same stiffs we saw last year, but some fresh guys as well. What'd you think of the offense? What were your first impressions?
Straight off the bat, I thought Justin Fields looked a lot better this year. He was, you know, it looked like, you know, everything with the game looked slower for him. Where at times last year, it just looked like it was going too fast for him. There was times, you've seen a lot on Twitter, people talking about when he passed to Sharp out on the right, that he moved in protection. He was seeing the blitz coming. He stood in there, took the hit. Stuff he just wasn't doing last year. So that was a huge positive for me on offense. And then, you know, I thought the line actually did okay. It did better than I thought. I know they gave up one bad sack, but that's really it. I can't remember a huge amount more. I think the line did okay, you know, which was an absolute shit show last year. So it was I thought it was a pleasant surprise for me on offense. Mooney had a great catch in the from Fields as well. That, you know, I love the chemistry. I mean, my pants are absolutely destroyed watching footage coming through from training camp of, you know, of him throwing balls. And like, there was one today which apparently was out of bounds, and I'm fucking 10,000 miles away going, no fucking way, both feet down, that was a touchdown in training camp. You're screaming at your phone going, this is ridiculous. But I have stupid optimism. I think when I look at that, I have absolutely, absolutely ridiculous optimism. I have no idea why, but we're going to win a lot of games. Six and a half is our over under. That's ridiculous to me.
Oh, you'd hump the over big time with those destroyed pants, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. Yeah. I'd be hoping it worse than I hope my wife's leg. I tell you, I'd be all over that over.
Did you, when you've been watching some of this video and you watched that incredible pass that you referenced from Fields to Sharp, were you around your family when your pants were destroyed, and what was their reaction?
Well, for most of the first quarter, I kind of sat there with a cushion nicely placed on my lap just to hide anything that might happen. Luckily enough, my wife, she knows the face I make when it's about to happen, so she took the kids out of the room. She just got them out of the room, left me on my own in there. She knew it's daddy's time, he needs to be in there alone. But it was something magic. And it was stuff you love to see, because it's I can't remember the last time I saw that from a Bears quarterback. It was just an amazing pass. Now, fairness, CJ Sharp, what a catch. Like, it was an out of this world catch. The fact that Fields stood in there, knew, moved my protection, I'm going to take a bad hit here, but you know what? I'm going to give my receiver a chance. I'm going to put it where it's not going to be picked off. If it's either going to be incomplete or a catch. And that was just, you didn't see that last year. Yeah. That would have been an underthrow, interception, pick six, something like that, you know, and that's where you see progression. That's all you want year two, is to see some sort of progression.
That's a great call. Yeah, I know some people were bummed that they couldn't put any points on the board, but you know what? When you're starting at your own 4 because of a muffed punt, then there's, I don't know what else you can really expect. They move the ball decently, but yeah, I wasn't bothered by that. Were you bothered by the fact that the first squad didn't get on the board?
Not as much as Mike from England was. Mike from England got very negative on the chat. He looked like he was getting like that. I thought we were going to have to send, you know, the Samaritans over to Mike to make sure he's okay. He was getting very negative. But no, the way I look at it is they're a new offense. They're still working shit out, you know, but there was no, you know, he had a pretty decent stat line. There was no huge glaring mistakes. There was no really bad throws. There was no mind-numbing plays. There was no fucking jet sweeps at fucking 4th and 40 and shit like that. You know, and it was just, it was just a nice, clean play. Yeah, look, you're not going to score a touchdown every single time you take the field. You're not going to. But, you know, I didn't mind it so much. I just liked what I saw from Fields. I thought, look, this guy's learning. He's got 3 more preseason games. And by the time he hits the NFL season this year, I think he's going to be firing on off cylinders. Is going to be a great, great way. But I think it's, we have optimism. You know, we genuinely do. We don't have Matt Nagy in the fucking building, thank Christ. Hopefully, like last Saturday was the last time we see him in the building ever again. And, you know, we just have, we've hope. And I think Justin Fields has given us that hope. Mooney, that connection they have, has given us that hope. I would have liked to see Montgomery. I know he's going through shit, he's been an injury, but I wasn't hugely impressed with Herbert. I thought maybe of all the players I watched, he was the one that let me down the most. I didn't think he ran as hard as he could and stuff like that. That I think my one fear would be that the drop off from Monty to Herbert might be huge, you know, and then that's the kind of thing that last year I didn't think it was as big, but this year, now granted, it's only a couple of plays in a first fucking preseason game against the bullshit Chiefs with a fucking absolute ball bag as a fucking QB coach, but you know, it just, that was the only thing I kind of looked at the offense and went, Herbert, he just didn't look as dynamic as he has. But look, he's time. Like, hopefully he gets it.
Absolutely. Dan Doinks, we referenced, is in Hawaii. He was kind enough to send in his thoughts, his first impressions about our first team offense, and maybe a couple other little observations he's made in Hawaii. Dan, let's hear from you, baby.
Aloha, motherfuckers. That's right, your old pal Dan is recording this from Hawaii. This place does not suck. However, I don't know how you fucking NFL fans do it here. Kickoff was at 7 a.m. for the Bears game yesterday. I'm recording this on Sunday, by the way. Who cares? Who gives a shit? I don't know how you Bears fans, NFL fans do it. That is way too early, and I can sympathize with the UK folks. You have the opposite problem, but holy shit, that's a dangerous time to start drinking, pre-gaming before 7 a.m., but you still got to do it. Fun fact about Hawaii, they have a Polynesian Football Hall of Fame, which is about the size of a, let's say, a good-sized master room closet, I'd say. It was very small, but good for them. I toured it in about 5 minutes. Of course, Olin Krutz is in it, but here's a quick trivia for you. Who is the 2020 recipient of the Polynesian Football Player of the Year for college football? 3, 2, 1. Zach Wilson. Yes, the Zach Wilson. Who would have thought he was Polynesian? Apparently his aunt is Hawaiian. He has a Hawaiian middle name. Who knows? It seemed like a real stretch. No coincidence that the museum is at BYU Hawaii's campus in Oahu. So, yeah, no, joke's on you, Zach Wilson. I don't know what that means. All right, Bears game yesterday. Obviously, everything hinges on JF1. I thought he looked fine. Not over the top great, definitely not horrible, but encouraging stuff. Didn't get injured, so that's a huge win. Play calling overall seemed pretty solid. I like the use of a fullback. Getsy seemed to spread the ball a little bit. A lot of outside running. I love that. I liked it. You know, who knows? It's way too early to tell, but so far seemed pretty red hot. The offensive line's a concern. Michael Schofield got absolutely bullied in a few plays, one of them where Justin got sacked. That's a huge fucking concern. Mustafa also looked terrible, looked a little lost. If he's starting, I think we're in major trouble. So the O-line, excuse me, as expected, is a little fucking scary. As a whole, Eberflus, I got to be honest, looked a little weird on the sideline. I don't know if it was like something. I can't put my finger on it with the tucked-in shirt. Maybe he just looked a little lost with the head honcho headset on. Something looked off, and I'd like to know Bill's thoughts on it. And Darren, I believe Darren's getting involved. Oh, hey, Darren. Blah, 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 blah. But something looked off. I'm not mad about it. I can't figure it out. He didn't look quite comfortable.
Oh, wow. A lot of smart observations there, Darren. I know, I'm sure... I'm sure you feel good about all of them.
Absolute fucking gold from start to finish. I mean, I don't know how we can continue this podcast after that. That's just absolutely blown me out of the water. But fair play to Dan. Unbelievable stuff.
Yeah, he made reference, and I'm curious about your opinion on this too, Darren. He said, Matt Eberflus looked weird on the sideline. And I actually put that in I took notes for some reason. I put like three things in my phone. And that was one of my thoughts too. Like, he looked uncomfortable. It's hard to put your finger on it. Like, was it the crispy white shirt? Was it the play card tucked into his Johnson? Like, what do you think, Darren?
I think he looked to me, when I saw his shirt, I kind of went, that's someone that's been handed a shirt before kickoff. Everyone knows when you get handed a new shirt, you iron it because it has this poxy square on it from where the piece of card is to hold the shirt. You iron it anything. And, you know, you see it on Christmas morning every time someone walks in with a new shirt down with a square on their back. You go, what the fuck? Iron your shirt. But I think he's kind of like, it's his first day in the job. He didn't know what to do in terms of where to stand, how to hold it. You know, I think as he goes through, he'll learn more. You know, I think, like, to me, one of the glaring things that he'll learn as he goes through it is when, you know, when Fields took that really dodgy hit on his slide. Now, I know some people have said, oh, it's fine, it was a late slide and stuff like that. But he should be bollocking the referee over that. He should be in that ref's ear, giving him an absolute fucking earful, going, that's a load of bullshit. That's my fucking starting quarterback in a fucking preseason game. You know, when he kind of just went, what? Oh, okay, cheers, thanks. You know, and that's stuff he needs to learn. He needs to learn when to push it, when not to push it. At the moment, I think he's just like that. He's trying to figure out himself what he's going to do.
I think that's a great call. Yeah, it's nothing worrisome. I guess if he shows up to the next game and his pants are backwards and, you know, maybe shirtless, then we might be asking some harder questions.
I think he turns up shirtless, like, could be something interesting, actually. I mean, if fucking Dan Campbell turned up shirtless to a game, then fucking Detroit would go fucking mental. They love the guy. So
that's true.
I think we could get all on board on that.
Oh, for sure. Did you go a little mental today? I assume you saw the photo that I did on Twitter of Luke Getsy sitting next to Justin Fields. Fields had kind of that shit-eating grin on his face, like he was very satisfied by something that Getsy said or...
Yeah, he definitely seems to be loving his Kool-Aid, doesn't he? He's definitely like just, which is great to see. I mean, I know, you know, you had that fucking pussy ass shit at the beginning of the game where Nagy came over the Fields and the all kind of went, oh, aren't you great? Yeah, fuck off, you prick, you're no longer my boss type shit. You know, that we've all done with ex-bosses that we've met at some stage and gone, oh, hi, how are you? How are you getting on? I loved you. Yeah, you were great. And when he walks away, he goes, what a cunt. You know, so we've all had that. So, you know, and this one actually kind of looks a little bit genuine, at least for week one of the preseason. It's genuine. We'll see what it's like, you know, in 13 or 14 weeks when they're still talking to each other. But no, it was good. I also didn't like that shit. I'm sorry to know it's slightly different, but that shit of fucking Nagy going up and having a smarmy comment and fucking Roquan Smith's ear and stuff like that. Just stay away from me, you prick. You're not fucking there. Hopefully they charge him for tampering and fuck him in jail. What a prick. I fucking hate Matt Nagy. I'm sorry. You ruined 4 years of my life.
Yeah. I mean, you have every right to feel that way. And I think, I know, I just seeing him, he looked older than usual. Like he was aged like a president, basically, as the head coach of the Chicago Bears. He looked stupid in Chiefs red. And, you know, I know it's kind of where he came from.
We all have to remember one thing about Matt Nagy. What Matt Nagy has to answer for the rest of his life. I mean, if you ask Phil from Indiana, he's turned a future Hall of Fame quarterback, Mitch Trubisky, into a pile of shit for 4 years. So, I mean, he's got a lot to answer for in his life. So, I'm glad he got into... it was very nice for the Bears, in fairness, to bring him back into Soldier Field, to make him feel welcome, and give him a loss like he's used to. And I thought that was wonderful for the Bears to do.
Yes. Now,
by the way, can I just say one thing? Carlos Santos, fucking legend. Excuse me, I just have to throw it in there. But I'm delighted. I hate Matt Nagy. I just do.
Yeah, as you should. Yeah, Carlos Santos, how in the world... Okay, is there anything comparable to your life in Ireland? Your golf courses are immaculate, typically, in Ireland. But trying to compare the disgusting turf at Soldier Field for the charter franchise in the National Football League. And just the way that it's treated, I know it's political with the park district and the mayor and all that horse shit, but it's embarrassing for the city and its fans.
Yeah, it is. Like, what I find weird, and I mean, I've asked this question before, and like, the 85 Bears won the Super Bowl. And if I'm right, looking at the pictures, they played on AstroTurf in 85. And you kind of go, well, and we haven't won a Super Bowl since. So maybe there's something to that. Like, maybe we should look and go, maybe we play an AstroTurf again. You might win a fucking Super Bowl again. Yeah. But I looked at the field and you saw the pictures coming out of the field looking so shitty. You're kind of going, like, I've played on rugby fields at age of 13 years old that haven't looked that bad. And these are fields that are getting cut by fucking Presentation Brothers. Who, if you're lucky, if they can stay away from the fucking kids in the school long enough to fucking cut the grass, you know, and you're kind of going, holy shit, like, it's for, you know, Chicago, what, the second biggest market, probably third biggest market in America. They should have an immaculate field. Like, when you watch some of these sporting things, like the Premiership this weekend, first weekend of the year, all the fields look immaculate. And that's what they should do. You know, they should be aiming for that. They know by week 6 it would look like a shithole and they would run through a fucking swamp. But, like, for at least the one game, they go, look, we can make the grass look green and put little fucking boxes and shit in the crap. Like, but it looks like absolute shite. Yeah, no, it was... I don't know how he kicks. I mean, I really don't. I mean, it's one of the things that you kind of look at. Like, I know our old friend Hugh from Australia. Yeah. One of the things that, you know, I've always amazed when he's basically, you know, that more rugby kickers have come across in the NFL because they're used to kicking in that shit. They're used to kicking in muddy fields that you just have no footing on it and stuff like that, where NFL kickers, it must be so difficult for them because they're going to Soldier Field one week and they're kicking off a car park and then they're going to, you know, going to LA the next week and they're kicking off this immaculate turf. You know, it just, the Bears need to figure something out. Whether it's going to Arlington Heights or whether it's sorting out Soldier Field, they just need to figure something out. But I'm probably the only person in the country that thinks that we're in Ireland, definitely probably the only person in Ireland that thinks of it, that maybe we should have a look at going back to AstroTurf for a year. I know it's probably bad in players' ankles, but at least a kicker can kick the fucking ball over the thing.
I mean, it's got to be less expensive. I know it's expensive as hell to install it initially, but I mean, they're replacing that turf all the time, and they have so many, you know, I think they're blaming the Elton John concert from earlier in the week. I mean, come on. The fans for the Elton John concert are like 87 years old on average, right? It's, I mean, maybe there's like a lot of wheelchair marks on the grass.
Maybe a lot of cum in that concert now. That's the only thing. I mean, not many parks can hold up to a shitload of cum from a fucking concert.
That's true. It's true. I think there's something into it. Hope they don't do one of those like DNA searches, like that glow in the dark stuff in a hotel room.
That could be a black light in fucking Soldier Field at the moment. The fucking place in like CSI in Vegas would just light up. Yeah, no, it was a disgrace. I mean, I think wasn't it last year the same thing happened? Wasn't it before one of the games they had some concert on our bye week, and then the game the next week the pitch was just a fucking shit show. And you kind of go, get it together, lads. Like, it's just. You know, that's where something like Arlington Heights, obviously I have no skin in the game. I don't live in Chicago, so I don't give a fuck where the stadium is. Once it looks well and the players have a good chance of winning, that, you know, Arlington Heights, at least if the Chicago own it, the Bears own it, at least they might have a bit more, you know, seeing how this field looks, what plays there, when it plays there, as opposed to the Parks Department owning it, you know. So I think fucking Greg Gerdich being the fucking person making the calls about what fucking goes where, you know. So, I think, look, they have to do something about the field. It's just week one preseason. You know what, like, I mean, what was it? Must be 6 months they've known this fucking game was coming along. It's like, it didn't surprise them. Right. You know, they just need to sort their shit out and get the shit together, but hopefully they will.
Yeah. Hopefully. I'm thankful that the next two preseason games are on the road, actually. So it at least gives them a chance to plant some seed, so to speak, Darren.
The only problem we have is fucking week one. We got the 49ers coming in, but the only other kicker who can kick in that fucking field is playing for them. So that's not a great sign. So good maybe if you make the field look good, he'll just confuse the piss out of Robbie Gould. He won't know what to do with himself. So
that's a great call. Love it. Special team. So somebody that Dan and I poke a lot of fun at or have is rookie punter Trenton Gill. I think Dan, let's hear from you. I think you got a couple things to say about this guy.
The MVP of the game for me, oddly enough, a guy we kind of poked fun at, Trent Gill. Holy shit, that guy was pretty solid placing the ball. Thought he got pretty good distance. So that's encouraging, I guess. Kind of fucking funny. Trent Gill, the guy who's in his scouting report, is that he maybe can't punt the ball. But you thought he did great. All did great job holding the ball as well. Cairo Santos came through in the clutch.
So Dan made Trent Gill his MVP. I think the Cornish hen golden cock, if you will, went from Dan to Trent Gill. What'd you think of the young lad's leg, Darren?
That was great. I'm sorry, but every time we take to see him, I never have a vision. Whenever you hear someone's name, a vision pops into your head. And all I can think about is your man from The Simpsons. Oh, Gil, don't make a shit here, Gil. Don't kick the ball out of the fucking field, Gil. I can just imagine if the ball's getting high to him while he's going, oh, Gil, don't kick it out of bounds, Gil. Kick the ball down the field, Gil. And it just makes me laugh all the time.
Did you just awaken one of your children with that impression? You might. I don't think so. That's fantastic.
It's Teddy Gates has kicked off here. I think it is, and they're gone now. So it's, but yeah, no, it's. I think he did brilliantly, actually. In fairness to him, he did. Like, can I just say one thing? I'm sorry, Bill, you might choke on your beer now when you hear this. How fucking disgusting was it to see Pat O'Donnell in a fucking Green Bay jersey?
Yes.
Like, fuck you, you prick. Like, yeah. I mean, I know you're the Bears record holder for punts and shit like that, but you don't go to Green Bay.
No.
Go and fucking die in Atlanta with fucking Pace and the other cunts. But, anyway, Gil was brilliant. What a punter. He's going to be the best punter in the whole world.
Yes.
He's going to be punt the ball everywhere until, next year, the year after, Hugh can jump in and take over his position and punt it down. But no, golden cock to a punter, that has to be a first.
Yeah, that's got to be. I don't recall that. Yeah, at least from Dan. Dan usually gives zero respect.
Well, he's big on special teams, though. He was the one who pulled out our punt coverage from last year being a problem. Like, he must just watch tape. He says he doesn't watch tape, but I can see him pants around his ankles watching special teams tape on a fucking Tuesday morning. Like, so I think he might be onto something there.
Yeah, Dan's a big nude hang time guy, I think, is what you're getting at. And that's hard to argue. Yeah, Hugh Robertson, Illini punter, will absolutely, I hope he ends up on the Bears next year. No offense, Trenton Gill? Hard to say. Doesn't matter. Defense. Let's go to the defensive side of the ball, Darren. A lot of guys out. How about rookie Jaquan Brisker? Did he jump out at you?
He did. I thought he played quite well, actually. What I loved about the defense was they went after the ball. You hear all this shit coming through training camp. They're ball hawks. All our guys are ball hawks. Fucking Johnny over there giving out Gatorade as a fucking ball hawk. Like, everyone's a ball hawk. But when you see it in a game, and they actually were. Like, they, you know, there was one stage, I can't remember what cocksucker the fucking Chiefs had in a quarterback, but he slid. And Brisker went over his head. And if he hadn't slid, the guy would have been into next week at some stage. You wouldn't even know where he was. You know, it was a bit like Bobby Boucher in Waterboy. But like, oh, please don't hurt me anymore. Like, you just get that vibe. This is a guy who's so happy that he's in the NFL. And he just wants to go out there and hit people. And you love to see it. I think he's going to be really, really good. I really do. I think he's going to make a huge, huge addition to us. Obviously, hopefully we can get the Roquan Smith stuff sorted. You know, and our defense could be scary this year. There's a lot of people might start sleeping on the Bears in the sense of having a bad season. You're hearing even now other people talking about how they're not going to get 6.5 wins and shit like that. You're kind of going, guys, you haven't watched our defense. I think our defense is going to be scary when they get going this year. I think it's, especially now, we're going to have Robert Quinn hopefully back. You're hearing again on Twitter today, I can't remember, it's not Brad Biggs anyway, because that cunt's blocked me, so it must be someone else was talking about Robert Quinn today and how he was absolutely terrorizing the offensive line today. Mm-hmm. You know, so when you get him back, if we keep him, hopefully, you know, I think this Bears defense could be scary. And your man Brisk looks like a really, really, really good talent.
Yeah,
he really does.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing. Our guy Dan made a couple observations himself. Dan Doinks, what you got, buddy?
Brisker looked amazing. he looked so fucking good. It's hard not to get excited about that guy. The number nine is throwing me off a little bit. It's like Jim McMahon fucking flying around back there, but I thought he looked real good, and he got me boned up. Aloha style, I think that's what they say here.
All right, yeah, Dan was a little confused with number nine, thinking that it might have been Jim McMahon flying around there on defense, but, you know, that's typical Dan Doinks.
How good would that have been? Oh, no, you see Jim McMahon, most of the time he's his knee on him with a little fucking trolley thing, so I don't know how good he would have been. But, yeah, no, I love Jim McMahon. Going back, 85 Bears is the reason why I support the Bears, so Jim McMahon was a fucking hero of mine. Yes. But, yeah, no, I think Prisker, he looks great. I think I know people are talking about online, people are joking about, you know, defensive rookie of the year. You know, it's a small sample size. I am getting carried away, but that's what preseason's for. Preseason's to get carried away. Oh, yeah. I think there's a good shout that this guy could be special this year. I think he really could be special this year.
Yeah, he looks great. He looked great. Looking forward to seeing Kyler Gordon this Thursday at Seattle. Looks like he's getting ramped up, so that'll be good. Love to see both of them in the backfield, what they can do. Another ball hawk, as you said, everybody's a ball hawk, but he might be one for real. Jack Sanborn, undrafted rookie out of Wisconsin, linebacker. He mm-hmm. was all over the field. Did he jump out to you there in Ireland?
He definitely did. I mean, there's one stage I was watching the game and I thought the fucker was lining up at fullback at one stage. And every time I looked at the screen, the guy, the commentator, was screaming out his name. But like, it was a punt. Sanborn with the hit. And then 2 seconds later, boom. Sanborn with the interception. You're going, what the fuck is happening? Where's this guy? He's playing every fucking position, you know. And you love to see it because, like, these guys, like him, undrafted free agent, he comes along. This is his chance. He's grabbing it by the balls and going, fuck you, you know, Fluce, you're not letting me out of this building. And you love to see it. And yeah, no, I think it'd be great. Like, if he can get in, I think he'll probably ultimately be a special teams player for, you know, hopefully he'll get the roster, the 53-man roster for special teams, and then work his way into the team. But again, because a lot of that's going to depend on what Roquan does. But, you know, I thought he was brilliant. Like, he just, again, he loved it. You see, after every tackle, it was fucking up, giving a woo and giving all that sort of shit. You go, yeah, this is fucking deadly. This is what you want.
But yeah. He's flying to the ball. What, it a fumble, I think a fumble recovery, right? Also,
yeah, like interception, wasn't it?
Yeah, and a pick.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was nuts. He's absolutely nuts. So you mentioned Roquan a couple times. Let's talk about Roquan from your perspective. Hard to know where exactly they're at. We have no idea what he was offered outside of something record-breaking, whatever the hell that means. Roquan seems offended by some of the language in the offer. Where do you stand? Are you picking sides? Are you hopeful? Where does Darren from Dublin stand?
It's a weird one for me because, like, when I first saw the story that Roquan Smith had asked for asked to be traded, I was fucking horrified. I couldn't believe it. I thought, what the fuck is Ryan Poles doing here? Sign the man, you know, give him whatever the fuck he wants. He's our best player, you know. And then as it's kind of gone on, I still think the Bears should sign him. I still think they absolutely should. And you hear stories coming in that the problem is they're back-ending all the money. So it's fucking, they're giving a really weird type of contract to him that he can't really sign. He feels it's bad. You know, and you're kind of going, then as it's going in, whether it's the Bears leaking this shit or someone, you start getting all this stuff coming through of his stats and kind of starting going, well, actually, he's not in the top percentage of his position. He's fucking in like the 30th percentile. And suddenly you're going, well, hang on, is he as good? Should he be getting that money? And as a fan, you start to question it. But I'm still very much in the case that we just pay Roquan Smith what we need to pay him to get it done. If I was Roquan Smith, I'd go out there and get myself a fucking agent. So I don't have to listen to the shit when the fucking Poles is going to him. By the way, no, we're not paying him because he's not that good. And then the agent will then argue and go back to him and go, they fucking love you, but this is what they want to give you. Well, in this case, what's happening is they're going to fucking, you know, straight to the guy going, listen, we don't think you're that good. We're going to pay you this. You know, that he's getting personal. It's getting, you know, so I think that he needs to get himself an agent once he gets his contract sorted. For himself, he'll make more money out of getting an agent anyway. Yeah. But if I'm the Bears, I pay him. I also see there's all sorts of shit came out today about there was some guy rearing around teams pretending to be Roquan Smith's agent.
Yes. Yes.
And they basically came out and said that anyone who contacts Roquan Smith thinking that they're talking to an agent you know, could be done for tampering and all sorts of other shit. Like, it's fucking, it's just the most bizarre situation.
It's
to me, like, genuinely, to me, it's like being, you know, arrested, being brought to court, and going to the court and going, I'm going to represent myself. You know, and it's like,
yes.
To me, it's like that. You go, no, you pay a fucking, you know, someone who's a expert in this fucking negotiation shit, and you get them to represent you in this court. You don't do it yourself, you gobshite. You know, it's, but look, hopefully they get a deal done. Hopefully they're going to stay. I'd love 58 to be a Bear for a long, long time. I think if 58 stays a Bear, you know, he could potentially go down as one of the greats, you know. He could be up there with Urlacher and people like that. But I really hope they get it done. But then at the same time, look, you got to be realistic. If he's come along going, I want $25 million a year, you know, and then you got someone like the Saints or someone's going to come along and go, I'll give you a first for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's time that you sort of go, yeah, he's not worth 25 a year. We're in a rebuilding year anyway. Maybe we could just get an extra first for next year, you know, or get a player or something. As I said, get Chris Olave out of the fucking the Saints for him. Go, thanks. Yeah, we'll take him with a straight swap. That's fine. Thanks very much. You'd love him, you know, that way. But I hope he stays a Bear, though. I really do. What about you, Bill? What do you think?
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I can see it from both sides now, the more I think about it too. My initial reaction was also like, we got all this fucking money. Like, why, who are we saving it for? But yeah, it's hard to know if he's being realistic or not. And I liked what you had referenced, the pretend agent that's making calls. So his name is Saint Omni, the guy. Like, is that like a, is that an Irish patron saint of cookie monsters or something? Have you heard of? Yeah.
Saint Omni. Well, there is an Omni Center in Ireland, so maybe that's what it is. Just remember what it is. It's fucking Saint Omni. I hadn't heard that. Like, I mean, what I love about that is that, could you imagine being the NFL executive sitting there and your phone rings? We got a Saint Omni on the phone, except saying he represents the old fucking, you know, Roquan Smith. Give me the phone. Yes. What do you want, Roquan? How much money do you want? We'll give you whatever you want. It's like, yeah. At what point do you go, Saint Omni? Fuck yeah. Off.
What is going on?
No, it's like,
I know. Well, I hope somebody gets busted for tampering, though. We could use another couple picks. That'd be fantastic.
At least we can just pretend it's Green Bay and throw them some shit. Oh, I mean, we may get to it later on, but can we just say one of the greatest things of the whole fucking preseason so far has been how shit Jordan Love is, but I don't even talk about it more later.
No, let's do it. Let's do it.
It's
yeah.
been fucking glorious. Oh, he was absolutely fucking horrendous. And then all day, again, like watching Justin Fields throwing touchdown passes today, all I've seen is Kellen Mond like hitting the fucking popcorn guy in the stand. Yes. And stuff like that. I'm going, this is just glorious. Okay, you know, we're still getting through it as well, but you look what they have and you're going to go, they're fucked. Like, they're just fucked. I mean, Rodgers is a head case. If Rodgers eventually decides to go and live on fucking Pluto or something like that because he's fucking nuts with his fucking witch wife and her fucking crystals and all that sort of bullshit, that, like, he's just, they're fucked, which is good. For them, for Green Bay to finally go back down the hell that the Bears have gone through of not having a quarterback, because them absolute pricks went from fucking Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers. And that's 20 plus years of, nearly 20 years of just, like, actually more, it's more, isn't it? 17 plus 17, it's about 34 years or 35 years of, you know, fucking Hall of Fame quarterback.
It's like our whole fucking life, basically, I know.
Yeah, of course, a fucking Hall of Fame game play, whatever it is. And, like, we're sitting here going, what the fuck is this shit? Now, I know there's a 4-year overlap, so it's probably 30 years, but still.
Yeah.
We're sitting there going, yeah, but we had a controversy of Rex Grossman and fucking neckbeard prick, whatever his name was. His name's gone from Ed now. But,
yeah.
You know, you kind of go, oh, Jesus. To have that sort of problems would be great. But no,
And I think they're just, a lot of Packers fans are still justifying those clips that we see on Twitter of Jordan Love to, like, oh, you know, he's still learning the system. It's like, no, those excuses are done.
No, but see, that's the problem with these fucking franchises out there, these fan bases out there. You know, eventually the Bears held up their hands, with the exception of Philip in Indiana, and went that Trubisky's shite. You know, we're like, he's shite. Like, we know he's shite. We're going to pretend for one more year he's going to be amazing, but we all know he's shite.
Yeah.
And we stopped defending him on Twitter. We stopped defending him. We just went, he's shite. We're like, you know, they're kind of still going. But at the same time, they'll go, well, Jordan Love, you know, he's just learning the game. That's why he's thrown 48 interceptions to his fucking granny in the stands. And we're kind of sitting there going, you know, Fields throws an amazing pass to Mooney, and then you go, oh, Fields is shite. He only went like fucking 7 for 50 yards, you know, with no touchdowns. You're going, yeah, but he's on his year two as well. But yeah, year two, he was a, you know, you fucking pricks. You're talking about fucking Jordan Love being fucking the next fucking coming of Christ, and the fucking guy's bullshit, you know. So it drives me absolute mad.
Yeah, just trust your eyes at some point. It's like, that dude, Jordan Love, cannot play football. He cannot play, and I want to see him play a lot of football this year.
So do I. You never wish an injury on anybody, but you'd love fucking Rodgers to break both his legs in the first game, just so we could, you know, Jordan Love come at us for a while and just go, this is glorious. This is absolutely glorious.
Not wishing it, but, you know, if he happened to get hit by a train tonight, you know, I'm not wishing it. But,
I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. Now, I might have a whiskey and a wall if he did do it. But I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. Like,
We just want to clarify that. Not wishing it.
No, not organizing it. Not wishing it. I haven't made a few phone calls. Just not fucking banker checks going all over Wisconsin at the moment.
Right.
But no, it's, but it's like, you wake up, you know, because, look, it's preseason. Like, I don't, my mates are 49ers fans, but I couldn't give a bollocks for the 49ers. But you walk up and check your phone, you're like looking at it going, Jordan Love. The fuck is this shit? This is fucking amazing. And then obviously I didn't see the Kellen Mond, so if I didn't, and then you see the clips of it, you're going, like, granted, he could have been immaculate for the rest of the game, for all I know. Right. But the two passes I saw were fucking terrible. So I'm hanging on that shit going, he's shite. He's gonna be absolutely shite. And the Bears have a great future ahead of them because they've got a world class JF1 who's gonna be QB for the next 10 years. No, and then Detroit
awesome.
Or Detroit, so who gives a fuck about them?
Yeah, they're barely in the league. That's funny. Yeah, the Vikings deserve no grace either with Kellen Mond. I'm with you. He could have been 8 for 10, and those are the two that we saw, and I would absolutely hang out of those two as well. I mean, they were justified because those fans on Twitter are so obnoxious, too. It's like they wanted Justin Fields so bad going into the draft, and the second the Bears got him, they turned on him hard.
Yeah. I was tell you one thing. I went to a place called Hookhead in Ireland today. I went out for a day, lovely day in the sun. It's the oldest working lighthouse in the world, apparently. There you have it. There's a piece of history for you. Got out of my car and I'm dressed like an absolute wanker. I have a fucking Bears T-shirt on. I have a green Bears St. Patrick's Day hat on my head. I've got a Jake Arrieta Cubs jersey on. I'm getting out, fucking swinging around the place. Some prick walks by the car with a Vikings hat on. I was like, going, boo, you fucking suck. And the look I got was just horror. And I was like, fuck you.
You know, what are the chances? What are the chances?
Yeah, it's just the most random thing, but like, the Vikings do suck. I fucking hate the Vikings.
Was it Dante? I almost said Dante Cunningham. Dante Culpepper. Is that who it was?
I don't think it was. No. But it was gas because he looked at me like, what the fuck is this guy on? Because I was just like, boo.
I love it.
And my test was like, what are you doing? Like, come on. You're like fucking 43 years old. Did you grow up? Never. Never grow up.
Was that, is that where the pub, there's that pub sign that you put on our WhatsApp chat. What did it say? I'm trying to remember because it was beautiful.
I got to open it here. It's fucking amazing. I had to take a picture of it. Nobody gets out sober.
Mm.
I tell you, it's never a truer thing to say. Like, I didn't have a pint though there today. I had a pint later on in the evening. My friend rang me at about 9 o'clock tonight and said, fancy a pint? I got to be back at 10:30. I have a podcast to do. Right. We're going down for two. Grand. So we're down for two pints, but it was lovely. But like that sign, when I saw that sign, I said, I have to get that from your house. Like, that's just,
it's awesome.
Know, it is amazing.
What's your pint of choice these days, Darren? I know you're a whiskey guy, but talking beer, which way do you lean?
No, I'm not a stereotypical Irish person at all. I don't like whiskey, but I do. And I don't drink Guinness, but I do. It's Guinness stout, actually, mainly stout. I'm drinking cider at the moment, but generally it's stout. Guinness or Murphy's, which is what I like.
Murphy's is excellent, as is Guinness. Brother Dave, who you've yet to have the pleasure of meeting in real life, but I know you'd get along swimmingly. I knew him a little bit, but I got to know him a lot more. We both lived in Europe together, and he chugged two Guinnesses consecutively, and I knew I was immediately in love. Like, mm-hmm. I couldn't believe my eyes. Is that a common thing to do in Ireland, to chug a Guinness?
Not really, no. We like to savor our pints. So it's got to push. In Ireland, they're so fucking expensive as well. You got to savor the pints. But no, I've chugged Guinness in the past, but generally, you sit down, when you drink Guinness is the type of drink you drink when you're sitting down for a day session. You're sitting down, having a few pints, watching the football, chatting to friends. And that's what it was. It just, I went down for a few pints on Saturday night with my father-in-law. You're just sitting there having a few pints, drinking, and that's what Guinness is for. If you're there to get shit-faced, it's vodka, whiskey, everything else.
It's a beautiful thing.
Not that I advocate drinking or anything, but I am Irish.
It's true. No, you know, embrace the stereotypes. That's what I always say. I think
it's funny.
I think I saw a leprechaun.
Yeah, well, he's probably there somewhere. He's around here somewhere. But like, it's a funny thing. Like, I remember, I think I told you before, I remember going away on holidays and you're talking to people and they go, oh, you're Irish, sure, have a drink. And I'd be like, going, just because I'm fucking Irish doesn't mean I drink, right? And they get really uptight about it. And I'm like, hey, what the fuck is this about? No, stop it to drink, will you? And now I'm just going to go to bollocks. Here's a drink, that tea. Of course I'll take a fucking drink. Give me all the drink. Give me the Guinness. Give me the whiskey. I'll drink anything you want. You know, it's like... When I was younger, it's funny. You just get hung up on stupid fucking shit. I could have got a lot drunker in my youth if I hadn't just been not so stupid.
Hey, make up for it now. There's, you know, no time like the present, Darren.
Absolutely. I'm doing my best anyway.
Before we go, anything that you are excited about for we're doing this on Monday. Bears playing Thursday. Quick turnaround.
Yeah.
What are you looking for in the Seahawks game there, Darren?
Well, I'll tell you what I'm not looking forward to. About 5 minutes into the game, when Justin Fields hasn't gone down the field, and we get reminded that Mitch Trubisky did it on Saturday, that he marched straight down the field against Seattle. I'm hoping to see a bit more progression and growth from Justin Fields. I'm hoping to see him and Mooney make a bit more of a partnership. I'm hoping to see a bit more of that, the OAP we have out in the fucking wing, out there with wide receiver, Vedius Jones and stuff like that. I hope to see a bit more of him, see what he's like, you know, and hopefully Quinn plays, and probably not, but hopefully he does, and Montgomery comes back. I'm not too sure if they're going to be fit for it. But just to kind of get another more look at the offense and actually see, you know, is it progression? Is it making? Are they learning? Are they going on? And, you know, defense to me, I don't know about how you feel about it, Bill, but I don't have a huge amount of worries about the defense.
No, yeah, none.
Yeah, like I think the defense that we have could be extremely serviceable. You know, we're just going to need to have an offense that can move the ball and, you know, give the defense time to, you know, gather up their strength to go back out and beat the shit out of people. Yeah. But no, I just want, again, Justin Fields, it'd be nice to see the first to get a touchdown or at least a field goal, do something, you know, bring it down the field. But, you know, just progression, no mistakes, no silly shit, no step back, no, you know, hot feet, no fucking, you know, throwing the ball away, no fucking throwing interceptions, just being clever with the ball, recognizing, you know, the blitzes, recognizing the coverage, just recognizing what he needs to do with the ball. Stuff he did last week, really, you know, and grow from that. And Getsy to work on the game plan to try and, you know, build on that. And that's what I'd like to see from it. Now, unfortunately, I won't see it. It's like 1 o'clock in the morning. There's not a fucking chance I'm staying up at 1 o'clock in the morning on a Thursday to watch a preseason game. If it was a season game, I actually would, but it was preseason. I'll watch the fucking game in 40 on Game Pass the next day. But that's what I want to see. What about yourself? What are you hoping to see?
Yeah, I want to see no major injuries. That's always my preseason priority for sure. I want to see more quality out of Braxton Jones at left tackle. I'd love for that guy to win the job. That would be awesome. I mean, I don't want him to win it by default because the rest of the guys can't, you know, don't have legs. But if he, I want him to win it because to get a fifth rounder, a rookie as a left tackle you can start relying on, I think that'd be a feather in Ryan Pohl's cap, wouldn't you say, Darren?
Yeah, no, it would be. And it'd be a cheap feather in that cap as well. True. For the next couple of years, you know. So it would free up an awful lot of cap room to put it somewhere else. I know we have shitloads of cap room next year, but if you don't have to pay a left tackle for a couple of years, you're seriously made. You know, you have the two most expensive positions in the field and on rookie contracts, you're golden, you know. But yeah, no, and that's, you know, that's what I'm kind of, I'd like to see that, you know, see him coming along. I'd like to see, you know, Jenkins get a few more plays. I believe he's playing right guard today.
Yeah.
So I'd like to see him get a, you know, get a shout again, because like all the stuff coming out of him last year was we had a steal at a draft getting him in the second round. So it'd be nice to see that that actually comes true. Hopefully all that shit that was in the that came out a few weeks ago, it's all gone past. But yeah, no, and then obviously I want to see Gil punt the ball about 48 million miles. Actually, it would be nice if he never punts because we score all the time. But at least if he does punt, you know, he punts in about 48 yards. They said, you know, so hopefully that happens.
Yes.
But yeah, no, just progression. That's all you want in the preseason is progression. Is you want to see them building on what they did well last week and fixing what they did shit.
Yeah.
And if they can do that to week two, and then week three, you do the same. And week four, they do the same. And when the 49ers walk into our building on the 11th of September, that we will, you know, we'll be ready for them. You know, I actually think the 49ers on the 11th of September is a good chance for us as the Bears to really make a statement, you know, to say that, look, we're not going to be the walkover that everyone expects us to be this year, because I'm not hugely sold on their QB. Yeah. I know he's made, you know, but again, I don't know. I could be wrong, but I think the, I'm quite very positive. But again, it's stupid preseason optimism.
No, better than preseason pessimism. If you got it that early, then you're already fucked. You said your buddy is one of your good buddies is a 49ers fan in Ireland.
I have two buddies. Yeah.
Okay. Have you started talking a little smack about week one, or are you laying in the weeds?
No, fucking, I'm a Bears fan. I'm laying in the weeds. There's no fucking way I'm talking smack. And you know this. I mean, you know this as a Bears fan. We could be up by 14 points with a fucking minute and a half left in the clock, and you're still not gloating about winning the shit. You're still just sitting there going, come on, the fuck. We can't fuck this up. We can't fuck this up, because it would be so bearish to throw an interception and then fucking lose the onside kick. But yeah. We're actually arranging to watch the game, so I hope you're going to watch the game, have a few pints watching it. But they're both big 49ers fans, which has been kind of shitty over the last couple of years, because the Niners have been quite decent, but we've been fairly shit. But I'm looking forward to that first game. I am. I think it's going to be a good game for us. But, you know, it's it's football, isn't it? It's been a fucking quiet few months. It's great to have fucking football back.
It's so obviously great.
As an Everton fan, it's probably not great to have soccer back, but it's great to have football back.
I think that is a perfect segue to the outro. Dan Doinks, why don't you give us your final thoughts? And we'll see you on the other side, Darren.
Overall, pretty encouraging. Didn't seem like a ton of injuries, unless I missed something in the news. But I will be back soon. I love you all. Aloha, motherfuckers. Again, that also means goodbye. And I will be very tan. There's no hams here. I don't know if it doesn't travel well by boat. I don't know how beer gets here, but there isn't any hams. So hams, corporate, please look into that. I love you all.
I'm sorry to bother you this late at night, but I just came over. I was hoping I could get lucky.
Alright, we are back. We're with Darren in Dublin. He is beyond handsome, and he has a lot of family pictures behind him, and I'm curious if there's a young Darren in any of them, or if your parents, Darren, pretend like you don't exist.
My parents love me. They do look me. Strange enough. There's a picture of me. Oh, that's my wrong hand. I'm fucking forgetting where I am. There he is. That one there.
Okay.
Of me wearing a Yum Yum Beans t-shirt as a baby, which is the reason why I didn't eat beans for a long, long time in my life. It fucking traumatized me. Every time I see the picture, I get traumatized. And why the fuck did you put Yum Yum Beans on me? What's the script of beans? Obviously, my parents got it free with a can of Heinz beans when I was a kid. But, like, come on. But, yeah, no. It's, These are all pictures of random fucking relatives. I don't know.
As far as you know, you had mentioned a different kind of football. Coincidentally, my boys in blue at Everton faced your team.
Yes.
I slept in. I have not checked the score yet. What happened, Darren? I assume Everton won.
Yeah, well, they almost won. They lost 2-1. A valiant loss of 2-1. Okay. Now, Everton were fairly shy, to be perfectly honest with you. Villa were 2-0 up. Everton got a goal back. You have a new guy, can't remember his name, but he looked very good for us. He had a bit of life when he came on. But overall, I mean, they weren't good. I think, unfortunately, it's going to be another long season for us. Whether it's another Becky-finding season towards the end of the season, I don't know. But Villa looked fairly comfortable. They got the win near the end, obviously. Everton got their goal back, but Everton are, like, I see Chelsea are looking to buy one of your players now, Gordon, you played up front and stuff like that. So,
not good.
It's just like they've sold with Charlison. If Gordon does leave, you're sitting with your man Solomon Rondon up front, who's not great. Everton really need to make a lot of moves, and I don't know if they are. Like, they're trying to shore up their defence. They're bothering your man Connor Cody, who's a very good defender. You know, they still let in 2 goals, though, so that didn't really work. But no, I think it's going to be another long season for Everton, but sure, you'll enjoy it.
Yeah.
Get used to it. You're a Bears fan and an Everton fan. No good will ever come in your life. So, no. And I'm a Villa fan and a Bears fan, and no good will ever come in my life. It's just, you get used to being shite and just get used to supporting shite. It's wonderful.
Yeah. It's a good way to spend your weekends, for sure. Just feeling like hot trash. I'm a little nervous already about the potential of relegation. It's exciting to me, but if they go into a new year with a new stadium and they're on a lesser league, I feel like that's probably not how they're trying to draw it up.
No, I mean, I think if that happens, they could be in trouble. To get relegated, they might be in trouble. Yeah, they could be liquidation and all sorts of shit. But like Saturday, they have a game on the 20th against who are they playing? Nottingham Forest at home. Mm. You got to be beating Forest. Forest have just come up out of the championship. You got to be. If they lose to Forest or draw with Forest, seriously, buy yourself a shitload of toilet paper. You're going to be shitting yourself for quite a few months ahead of yourself. So, but like they have to beat Forest.
Okay. Is the World Cup going to interrupt this year's season at some point? Okay, that's probably a good thing for Everton.
It probably is actually. What the World Cup will give teams like Everton a possibility of is that they're not going to have a huge amount of team players who are playing in Europe and stuff like that. So they won't, like all the big teams, are going to get really a huge amount of congestion of fixtures.
Yeah.
That Everton and Villa won't get because they're not in Europe. They're not playing in European competition because they're too shite. So they'll have less games to play, which is great. Good. So they might do a bit better. And then obviously the World Cup will give them a few months off. And again, because at a home, more so with Everton, because Villa does have some international players, but Everton doesn't have very many international players, so their players are going to get like 6 weeks off or 4 weeks off and stuff like that for a World Cup. But yeah, it's a weird one. A winter World Cup is a fucking odd one.
Yeah.
Like, I know.
Is it in Qatar or Qatar? Is that where it is this year?
It's Matt Qatar.
Qatar?
I would always say Qatar, and I know I'm wrong, but I always say Qatar. But I can't believe it's Qatar either.
Yeah, it's very strange. I doubt it. I'd always say
Qatar. Qatar to me was the team that I used to always play in the Sega Genesis. If I wanted to hammer the shit out of someone, I'd play Qatar, and then they'd beat the fucking piss out of them all the time. It's a really weird place. You can clearly see that, what's the non-suing word? Allegedly, Seth Ladder sold Qatar to get the, the World Cup. Allegedly, that allegedly happened. It's a weird one having it in winter. Obviously, you couldn't have it in the summer. It's too fucking hot. You wouldn't be allowed to kick a football. But it's going to be really strange. It's going to be like, think about it, December. You guys will have a huge amount of snow, and Ireland don't get that much snow because of the nuclear reactor in Sellafield has kept us nice and warm. But you'll get snow. We don't. But like, you'll be sitting watching these guys sweating balls, playing football in like 40 degree heat in the middle of December, going, what the fuck is this shit? You know, it's weird. Did America make it? They did, didn't they?
They did. They did. Yeah. They're in the same pool as England.
Yeah, that's correct. And Iran. Which is correct. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
That's, yeah, old enemies. That'd be a fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah, in some respects. I think they own a lot of our politicians, so that ought to be weird.
And then you had Ty in our Ty in Ontario. His Canada made it as well. Like.
Oh boy, is Ireland in it?
No, we're absolutely shite. Like you see, you gotta remember, like I'm a Bears and a Villa fan. So when you're a Bears and a Villa fan, the only way you can make that even worse is be an Ireland fan, because Ireland is shite. We're good at rugby, but the problem with rugby, there's only about six teams in the world to play that fucking sport. You know, so it's easy to be good at now, but like, yeah, we're shite at football, soccer. Okay. Sorry, soccer. Okay. I'll correct myself for this for the pod. We're shite at it. We, you know, it's been a long time since we win a World Cup. Japan in 2002 was the last one we did.
Okay. How'd you do? Get any points?
Actually, we did okay. We did okay. We got to the second round and we lost to Spain on penalties.
Okay. It's a hell of a run.
Yeah, no, we did very well.
They seemed to really build on that momentum, it sounds like.
They did, yes, they did. Yeah. They actually really built on that. Like, after that World Cup, we're going to go, this is great. We have a young team. We're going to do amazing here. And it just all went to shit. But like, it's Ireland. That's what happened. It's, you know, but it's a bit like, you see that in teams. Like, you see it as the Ireland did it. Like, do you look at a more recent team that I support? I know you don't, but I support them. Like the 2016 Cubs. The 2016 Cubs and 2015, you know, and then the 2016 Cubs. You can see momentum building through that franchise. And they're kind of going, right, they go and they win the World Series in 2016, which I lost my shit. Right? Because that was the... I'm really not old enough to remember the 85 Bears. I remember them, but I was, 7 years old. So I could get dementia now at this age and the amount of alcohol I drank. So I can't remember what happened last Wednesday, let alone then. But it was the first time I really watched a team win anything, because being an Ireland fan, being a Villa fan, it's an experience. And then they kind of go, this is brilliant. They're going to do this again. This is a fucking amazing franchise. They're going to do it again. And then nothing's ever happened. They got rid of Dexter Fowler the next year, which is, to me, was a huge mistake. And then it kind of just fell apart since then. It was probably similar to you. I mean, the White Sox back in 2004, wasn't it?
2005, yeah. 2005. I thought the same thing. They started 2006 red hot, and I thought, oh, man, going back to the playoffs, going back to the – and they collapsed in September and barely been back to the playoffs since. And then now they hired a complete alcoholic as their manager, is not just an alcoholic, but a 75-year-old alcoholic. So that's what you're looking for out of your squad when your average age is 23.
Well, I will say one thing, that I don't think there's anything wrong with hiring an alcoholic, just in case there's any prospective employers out there listening to me at the moment. I think I'm quite happy with you to hire an alcoholic. I think it's a good thing, but just maybe not one who's 75 and has been done for drink driving in pretty much every state in America. You know, that's sick. You know, sorry, allegedly done for drink driving in every state in America.
I love it. Again, you're not wishing it on them either. No, you're not wishing additional ones. You're not arranging.
No, not arranging. The White Sox, like, geez, again.
That's what they need. They need him to get pulled over for another DUI and then have to fire him, and here we go.
Well, wasn't it the Bears? Didn't the coach get pulled over for a DUI and that kind of brought them on to win a Super Bowl? So you never know. Like, I mean, that might bring them on. They might egg them on to go, we can go win a Super Bowl. The coach is fucking getting drunk, getting shitty. Let's get this done. But
absolutely.
Like, you look at the squad that the White Sox have, you can't go, Jesus, this team should be a lot better. I know they still have a shot. Like, I know they're not completely out of it. At least the last time I checked, they weren't completely out of it. You know, they were still...
Yeah, they're 2.5 out, but it feels like more, but yeah.
But I mean, again, that's a lot down to the fact that their division isn't great.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so... obviously, for the Cubs this year, baseball didn't happen, except we played a... You know, I'd say that MLB must have been delighted to have picked the Field of Dreams game this year for the Cincinnati Reds versus the Cubs.
Yep.
And when it rolls around, they're like, the shittest teams on the fucking planet. Like, on a holy shit, because last year's game was fucking amazing. You know, and
incredible.
Yeah, no, it's still great to Cubs won.
I saw, that was the good news. I saw the bad news was ratings were down 50% year over year, so they may have to think of a new idea or maybe not have, maybe just not have the Reds involved. That, you know, that was the mistake, not having the Cubs involved. Cubs will get eyeballs no matter what.
Yeah, but they've been really shit, though.
Yeah, they have.
This year, really, really shit this year. Like, I pay for a channel in Ireland that allows me to watch baseball. I think I've just wasted €20 a month for the last month because I just, like, even when the Cubs are on, like, even the rare time the Cubs are on, I'm like going, oh, balls, I'm not watching them. I just got a grumpy shout at the TV and fucking, you know, nah, you're okay. I watched the first couple of innings of the Field of Dreams game, you know, and I was just like, yeah, no, I'm trying to go to sleep. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. You know, but, whereas when the World Series was on, it was weird because I couldn't get baseball at that stage. It's very hard to get it. And I'd have my phone out, I'd have the ESPN app out, and I'd be checking, refresh. And I'd be watching this fucking little diagram of some poxy fucking batter, and it would just tell me if he's hit the ball, and he'd be watching all of it. And then eventually I managed to get a dodgy box that got me the last game. Game 7 I watched, and I was fucking screaming the house apart.
Did you want to give him a pep talk during that rain delay? Did you want to be Jason Hayward?
Oh Jesus! I didn't know. I didn't know where I was. Genuinely, I was in fucking bits. Yeah, I was fairly drunk, because I don't know about you, but when I get nervous, I drink extremely quick, and I was sculling cans. Like I was like sculling cans. I was on my own in my living room. I look like if something had happened in the house and the cops had to kick in the door or something like that, I'd look like a proper fucking daddy of the year shit here. One of my daughters was sleeping on the couch beside me with headphones on because she'd been watching something on the computer. Well, I'm absolutely shit-faced on beer, screaming at a TV that keeps on buffering because I'm watching it on some fucking dodgy box. You know, but I was so nervous watching that game. But it was great, and obviously it was brilliant to see them win it. Like, they literally... Yeah. The one thing, the more you kind of watch it, the more you think about it, they won that series in spite of what Joe Maddon was doing.
Yeah,
you know,
it's true.
And, you know, it was great to see them win it because they needed it. And if they didn't win it, they're never going to. And it'd be another 100 and fucking odd years before they'll ever look at it again. So I could say I saw the Cubs win the World Series. I technically saw the Bears win the World Series. I was 7 years old. I remember watching the game. I remember a huge amount about the game, but I've watched it since, obviously. I've sat my son through it 3 or 4 times now. I have a copy of it on DVD that I recorded off TV. But I watch and go, right, you're sitting watching this game with me because you're going to be a Bears fan whether you fucking want it or not. So you're going to make them watch this shit because they did do something once. Don't mind the shit you're about to watch in life. That's them losing and getting hammered all the time. They eventually did. They were good. They could play football, and they could beat the Patriots, believe it or not. You know, it's like,
shocking. Did you, have you made progress with your children and your love for the Bears, do you think, and other teams?
Yeah, no, my daughters are actually quite good. And, like, my kids are very nonplussed with sport, which is weird for me because I'm so mad about sport there. But my daughters love... Every random time they'll walk down wearing a Matt Forte jersey. Because they have 2 Matt Forte jerseys. My wife has got a Jay Cutler pink jersey and they have 2 Matt Forte. And every now and again they come down. It's like when Tess is wearing the Jay Cutler pink jersey, that's go day. that's Nando's day in the Amani household. But yeah, no. So now and again the kids wear it. Like, there was a time we went to zoo about 2 years ago. And I was getting ready, and like I like to do, and it's a weird thing. If I'm going somewhere that I know there's going to be a shitload of tourists, I'll throw on something American, and I'll throw on a Bears jersey, or I'll throw on, you know, Cubs jersey. I'm kind of thinking, because I don't get to talk about American football a huge amount, or baseball a huge amount. So if I go to the American guy, might walk up to me and go, oh, you're a Bears fan. And we spend 10 minutes chatting about American football. And I love it, because I love talking about American football. So I'd wear it, and then I walked downstairs, and they came down, and everyone in the household was wearing Bears kit. I thought, fucking brilliant.
Yes.
So off he went to the thing. I took a picture of the kids wearing their things, and I actually tagged Matt Forte in it, and he commented on it, which was kind of fucking amazing at the time.
That's awesome.
That was about 3 years ago, actually, because I keep forgetting COVID happened 2 years ago.
It did. It was
probably the year before it.
It never really happened in America. I don't know if you heard. Never really existed.
It didn't exist. No, it didn't right. exist. It didn't exist over there. It's, the China virus didn't happen in America.
That's it. Right.
It's obviously we went through that shit. We all went through that shit, but fucking thank Christ we're at the other end of it. Until they find something new. Every time I look at the fucking TV, there's something like, there's a new fucking, Orchard Thieves fucking virus coming out of China that's coming from gnats. And you're going, stop fucking eating gnats. Really stop eating fucking, leave the fucking things alone. Just leave them alone. If you notice, they fucking eat something else. You've all got McDonald's. Eat fucking chicken nuggets and chips, you bastards, like the rest of us, but it's. But yeah,
I blame Rick Feelsman. Somehow Rick Feelsman's involved. That's how
absolutely.
I see it.
I reckon maybe for immunity he ate his Tums. And that's it. Someone told him once that if you eat your Tums, you can't catch COVID. So maybe that's where it came from. But,
he's indestructible, that guy.
I'm looking forward to his takes because I'm looking because I need some get some hot cash into my pocket, so I can't wait that he's back giving us some takes so I can bet the opposite and make some money.
Yeah, exactly. Fade Rick Feelsman. I know some have made a lot of money on that. They bought summer homes off of that. He will be back the week of the 49ers game. Going into the 49ers game, there will be a lot of Rick Feelsman. There should be some grease tank as well as the car circuit continues, so we'll slide some of that in as well. So yeah, it's got a lot of stuff
break at the moment.
Yes, exactly. So it's going to be hot. Got a couple more episodes before the real thing kicks off, and I think maybe just one more actually, and then things are going to be awesome. Darren, this has been an incredible pleasure having you on the show. Thank you for staying up with me here on this Monday evening, Tuesday morning for you now, right?
And, just about Tuesday morning,
just about.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks very much, Bill, for asking me. And I'm more than happy to step into Dan's shoes. I know I'd never filled them, but I'm very happy to step into his shoes. And he needs to make an attempt. And anytime you ever need any help, just give me a shout.
Excellent. We will. He feels bad that he wasn't here to ask you all the hard-hitting, red-hot questions, I'm sure. Probably about Garfield, most likely.
More than likely, lasagna. Deep-fried lasagna, which I saw recently on TikTok, got very excited about. Deep-fried lasagna. Jesus, don't tell John Arbuckle about that. Oh yeah.
Oh, baby.
Tell you. Come filled, deep-fried lasagna. Oh, like a Scotsman's dream, that, isn't it? up there with the fucking deep fried Mars bar, you'd be fucking mental with that shit. It's been a joy. When you said it to me, I've been really looking forward to it. So thanks very much for having me, and go Bears. Hopefully the Bears can fucking do shit this year.
That's right. Our bar is very low. Just do some shit. Give us some optimism and and let's go, baby. Thank you, Darren. Yeah. This has been awesome. Go Bears. This has been Zero Doinks. Talk to you next week.
Embracing a wife that will be willing every Thursday night to cook you lasagna.
Well, this fishing session.
No way. Look,
oh my
look
God. Who's
this.
Hi, guys. Why is love so loud?
Hello, Becky.
How you doing?
Eating lasagna for 13 straight weeks.